But I'm telling you the truth. You should take my word. You should take my word because I've proven worthy of your trust. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yes, and God is my witness.
Yes, He is. We are also.
Thank you. Yes? Now, God comes with the final revelation, the Quran, and He reveals it to a man who are among the idol worshippers. Judaism and Christianity had not yet brought civilization to that land where the prophet was. God's help came to them in their particular circumstances. Why? Because the great Satan was conspiring against the Arabs, holding back the promise of God through Abraham to the children of Abraham's son Ishmael, or Ismail in the Quran. A conspirator among the Jewish people was working against them, having the light come to them and their cousins, according to their own words, their Semitic cousins, Arabs and Jews. But the bigger brother, the more fortunate brother, the elder among them in the faith, was keeping the younger from getting the light, seeing the light, conspiring against them, holding them back for the day of victory, great victory for the Jewish community. I'm not blaming the Jewish community for this. I'm saying an element among them did this. Holding back from the Arabs, keeping them in paganism and idolatry, yes, until the great day comes for Jewish conquest, for Jewish victory, and the need for them to bring in their Arab cousins.
Yes,
they had to plan, these conspirators, not the innocent Jews, the guilty ones, the conspirators working with the Satan. They knew the plan of God, but they wanted to hold back.
Right.
So that their victory would be bigger. This is in scripture too. And someday inshallah, we will discuss this as a topic. The scriptures that they have says that though Esau was treated unfairly by his brother Jacob, one day Esau would also get his blessings that God intended for him. And without going as clearly to it as the language goes to Jacob and Esau, the problem of Jacob and Esau, it also goes to the language of Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac, the figure of the Jewish people. Ishmael, the prophet among the, from the Arab people, who with his father, Ibrahim in Islamic terminology, built the Kaaba, the house that we all turn to as Muslims now, for unity in worship, unity in prayer, etc., for the unity of mankind.
Yes.
it is said that rivers will run in the land of the Arabians. This is Bible. And Ishmael would one day get his blessings. Our Prophet Muhammad is a descendant of the Prophet Ishmael or Ismail. He's a descendant of that prophet. From the wife of the great prophet Ibrahim, called Hagar. Now, isn't it strange, or I would say at least noteworthy, that in this country, the racist-minded, superior-minded whites of the Christian, of some of the Christian denominations, called us Hagar's children? They did. They called us Hagar's children, the blacks, in this country, out of doors, out of the house that God wanted us in, out of doors. They called us Hagar's children. Yes. Finally, God chose to give his guidance to a people called Arabs who were denied and cut off, lost, denied, cut off.
Yes, sir.
But not just for the Arabs. And when he gave it to the Jewish prophets, it was not just for the Jews. If it was just for the Jews, why is all their prophets now our prophets? That's to say and make it clear beyond a shadow of doubt in the religion that we believe in, that in our religion, these are not prophets just for the Jews. They are prophets for mankind. Man, oh man, I'm telling you. This is a great day.
Yes.
So the guidance comes to one of them and not one of them who was seen as a person devoted to religion. Muhammad was devoted to business before he was called by God.
Yes, sir.
Oh, isn't that strange that God would call a man that was devoted to business? God called Moses and he was devoted to keeping the house of Pharaoh.
Right.
That's a little worse, I think, huh? Yes. Moses didn't know where his place in this world. He was a servant of the house of Pharaoh. Yes. And it took one of his own fellow countrymen to tell him, Moses, you're in the wrong place. God is going to choose you to be our deliverer.
Right.
He didn't know it. He ignored that person. But finally God reached him. And he knew his place on this earth. And finally God reached one of the Arabs in darkness, in the time of darkness, gross darkness. And chose him to be his messenger, a mercy to all the worlds.
Right.
Oh, but we're too black to identify him with him, Brother Imam, like the Arabs. Oh, he's too black for us whites to identify with him. Brother Imam, he's the son of Hagar, an African woman, through his ancestor, Ishmael. The white may say that, and the black may say that. But God on the day of judgment will say, you knew he had black and white blood in him, didn't you? So without you even understanding religion, you had no excuse.
No, not at all.
He was of the black and of the white. Of the white through Abraham and of the black through Ishmael. Through Hagar and Ishmael, the wife of Abraham, Hagar, and Ishmael, her son, peace be upon them. There'll be no place to run, no place to hide. Praise be to Allah. Now, the message come to Muhammad, and it plays down the importance of an Arab in the message. It plays up the importance of the language of the Arabs and plays down the importance of an Arab person. And the reason for the Arab language is given that this language is powerful in expression. That is the language that is powerful in expression. And God chose him an Arab with the tongue of an Arab. That means speaking Arabic. And the advantage there is that the language is powerful for communicating the word of God. The language itself is powerful for communicating the word of God. And it's emphasized over and over again that this is a message in Arabic. A Quran in pure Arabic. Pure classical Arabic. That's emphasized. Why? Because God gave the message clearly to his prophets, all of them. He didn't give any of them confusion. He gave all of them clear message. But in time, the people's language became weak. Their language became adulterated. Their language became so adulterated until the language was not pure enough to communicate a pure message. And though the Arabs had themselves lost the way of Abraham and gone into idolatry and had become completely engulfed by darkness, their language was yet a language that had not been influenced by cultural changes, by industrial innovations. Our language is constantly undergoing change because of industry affecting the language, commercial life affecting the language, cultural changes affecting the language. And we don't have a God over the language, a protecting a group assigned over the language to keep the language from being taken out of its purity for the sake of holding it for God. Latin used to serve that purpose. Latin, for the Catholics, it was a language to serve that purpose. A language that they would not let be corrupt or changed by the world, by the languages of the world, by the new ideas and the new expressions of the world. But Latin became a dead language for the world.
Right.
It's called a dead language. So Latin in this world is dead. But Latin in Catholicism is alive.
Right.
Arabic in the world is dead. But Arabic in the Quran is alive. The Quran came to preserve the purity of Arabic. You can't go to Egypt in the streets of Egypt and find the purity of Arabic. You can't go to the language of the man, the common people in the streets in Arabia, in Mecca, and find the purity of Arabic. You can't go to any Arabic-speaking land and talk to the people, their daily language, their living language for their nation, and get the purity of Arabic. No. You have to read the Quran to get the purity of Arabic.
Right.
But in Muslim societies, the purity, the language, the Quran is so highly respected. The language of the Quran is so highly regarded and valued and appreciated that they require their formal state messages to conform as much as possible to the requirements for excellent speech that is established in the Quran. It is Quran now preserving high class language for the nations called Islamic nations. Yes, it's the Quranic Arabic that's serving that role to keep the language high. They call it Fusha. Fusha. That's what they call it. Fusha. But what is it really? It's the demand of the purity of Quranic language on the high level expressions of language. High level expressions of language. So you read newspapers. And if you don't read the newspaper, don't read a speech in there by a figure on high level in the society, you still will get adulterated language, impure language. Divine help for establishing community. Yes, God gives us help for establishing our individual personal life, certainly, and He will always give us that help. But the bigger help is the help that He gives us for establishing our lives in community. So that our individual life and personal life will have a home in the society, in the world eventually. Yes, this is the way of God. So God gives us divine help to establish the forms that He created. God created me, an individual person, human being, an individual human being. God created me. So a personal envy. And God has given me a form, a life form, a soul, to register what God wants for me. Yes, sir. And to register what God does not want for me. He's given me a soul to do that. Then He gives me help for this soul. He comes and gives divine help for my soul so that I will have the life that He wants me to have on this earth. But the world is in the way. The world won't accommodate it. So then God comes with a second portion of His mercy. And He gives the help for the society to help us establish the society, the community, the public life. He gave it to Moses. And He says, and He will raise up among the brethren a man like unto Moses. So here's the connection for Moses and Muhammad. Both of them were missing by God to establish community life. Moses went up and received the law from God, and he brought it down to the people. So here is law coming to order a community, a society, a nation on earth. And Muhammad went up. God took Muhammad up and brought him down. And it was only after He took him up and brought him down that He established, applied the light, the law, the wisdom in Medina and ordered a Muslim society on this earth. A man like Moses, peace be upon the prophet. God obligated him as the messenger of God. And before he passed, he wanted the people to be the witnesses under God, before God, that he had done his job. He would preach and say a line, or make a line of a line of communication, a sentence, communicating to the crowd. During the great pilgrimage, the last one he was seen with or among. And after he would make the statement, he would then ask the people. He asked God, and then he asked the people too, "Have I not delivered the message?" And their response was, "Yes, you have, O servant of God, O messenger of God." They were his witnesses that he had done it. Then what did he say at one point in his great farewell address in the pilgrimage on the Holy Land, the precincts of Mecca and that vicinity? What did he say? He said, "Those who are present, take it to those who are absent. Perchance," which means perhaps or maybe, "among them will be some that will understand it better than you do." So here is a man given a great responsibility, as Allah says, "And we have sent down upon your heart a weighty word." A weighty word. That's the message of Islam. That's the Quran. Great weight. A word of great weight. So here he is, before he dies, passing that responsibility to those who claim to accept that message.
Right.
To those who claim that they accept it and accept God as is revealed in Quran, and Muhammad as revealed in Quran, and Islam, the way of religion, as is revealed in Quran. He now wants to hold them responsible.
Right.
So he puts them on the spot so it'd be in history. That they heard and they believed. He didn't leave them in the dark. He left them with the message.
That's right. He did.
And they responded, "Yes, we are your witnesses. You have delivered the message." And there was no room for anyone to come up and say, "Well, Muhammad is gone now. Peace be on him," or whatever they would say. You never can tell what they would say if they had this kind of mind. It's time for us now to finish the religion.
Right.
To complete the religion.
Right.
They could have come up and said that. But Allah, long before that time, said, "This day have I perfected for you your religion.
Right.
And completed my favor on you.
Right.
And have chosen for you, or preferred for you, Islam as the religion." No room for them to come up and say there's some finished work to be done on the idea.
No room.
And then the Prophet wanted to make it clear to them, wanted to have it on record, that they had heard it clearly from him, to obligate them to carry it on to those who didn't hear it and will come behind them, generations to come. Well, there's a lot to be said, and the time is running out. Yes, well, there'll be another time, inshallah. He told me the time. I got the time on. Didn't you see me look at my watch? I thought you were going to tell me the time we got to go out of the building. You keep that. I'm a down-to-earth person, so just excuse me. Yeah, he makes one of the best salads you'll taste anywhere. And he promised me I'm going to go to his house and have a salad. I thought he was going to tell me what time his wife is expecting us to come over there and get it safe. Yes. The Quran that God gave Muhammad,
yes, sir,
we still have it just as God gave it to him.
Yes, sir.
This is what history has preserved for us. Right. That it has no change. It's exactly as it came to Muhammad the Prophet.
Yes.
Only challenge for us, the ones that God will favor, mm-hmm. to qualify for this responsibility, the only challenge is that we learn Quranic Arabic. That's the only challenge.
Yes, sir.
If we learn Quranic Arabic, we can serve the carrying of this message,
yes, sir.
On to the next generation.
Yes, sir.
As the Prophet has obligated us, and as Allah obligates us in the Quran.
Yes, sir.
Highly glorified is God.
Allahu Akbar.
What I'm trying to tell you all is, as individuals, we're just common people. But as a community, we are responsible for the prophetic office of the greatest and last prophet of God, Muhammad. Prayers and peace be upon him. So God gives us this help to establish our individual form. Now he wants this form to be protected by a community system.
Yes, sir.
So then he reveals the community system to his prophet, right. his messenger, his servant, Muhammad. And he teaches us that system. He leads us in the disciplines of that system so that we will know that system by word of God, by spirit of God, by word of God, and by practice in society. That's what has been done. So we have help for the individual life form, and we have help for that life form to be established in public life, in society, from Quran. And God says, you are the best community. Evolved or raised up or brought out of the world of darkness for the benefit of all people.
Right.
For the benefit of all people. God has obligated the community of Muslims to also live for those who are not Muslims. If we only live as a model of what God wants them to be, if they say, we don't want to hear anything from you Muslim mouths, should we stop living for them? No! We should still live for them as a model, speaking only with its beauty, speaking only with its purity, speaking with its justice, speaking with its wisdom, with its education, speaking with its elevations of man and his mind and his soul and his spirit, speaking to them quietly. Without saying a word, like a neon sign, just flash, 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 flash. We should do that to help them if they won't accept us to join them and work side by side with them and give them the benefit of Al-Islam. Thank you very much. Peace, and may God forgive us our errors and give us the destiny. Ameen.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call or write WDM Publications. Call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.